Guerrero here, your host of the Excuse Me podcast. Thank you so much for joining me this week as we bring you another exciting guest that is just very special to me. I want to remind everyone to please go to your favorite podcast platform and download, subscribe, click, like, comment, give me your feedback, and show me your love and support because I feel it every week, guys. All right, now it's time for this week's guest. Hang on tight, grab a beverage, grab some popcorn, and let's enjoy together.
Excuse me! Hey everyone, it's Vicky Gennetto, host of the Excuse Me podcast. And today, everyone, I have someone who is just amazing and talented and beautiful. And she deserves so much more from the world that anyone could ever imagine. And I'm so happy she took time out to be on my show. Please welcome the beautiful and talented Miss Chelsea Green. What up, girl?
Gosh, what an introduction. I'm blushing. I love that. That made me feel so good.
I'm a fan of you, Chelsea. I love your work. And I know that, you know, when you're with WWE and, you know, I'm a fan of the wrestling world, but your character and everything you do just resonates with me because I just love the weird, evil, psychotic behavior of you. And I'm like, I just love her.
You know what's funny is like, I really do feel like people feel like they know me because of that character, because it resonates with everyone in a different way. Oh my gosh. Just so you know, I've got cats everywhere and they will pop their head in. So you see a cat whisker from time to time. I'm sorry.
Well, they'll get the royalties. How's that? you know, everyone has a psychotic being within themselves. And I think that it's just so amazing, you know, to see you. You're so sweet and kind. And of course, you know, Britt Baker, who's here at AEW, thinks the world of you. And I know you guys are close friends. So I watch everybody's Instagram and it's so great how there's a family within a family, you know, and it's a special world that anyone outside the wrestling world wouldn't understand.
No. And that's the funny thing is, so I started when I got engaged, I obviously have my amazing best friends that I've grown up with, but now I have this really awesome group of best friends that I've grown up with in the wrestling world too, that honestly, I could never leave them out of my wedding party because we are like a family now. And you know, like we rely so heavily on these people in the same industry as us because that's all we have when we're on the road. I'm so lucky I have this really amazing group of girlfriends that I can always call whenever I need something.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about your wedding and of course your wonderful fiance, Matt Cardona, who I got to work with in WWE, but let's let the fans know who you are in case there's someone that's not familiar with you. Let's see, you're a badass professional wrestler, which is, I just want to say that first. You're a stunt woman. You're a model. And you're just incredibly nice and just beautiful.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Well, I mean, it's about empowering each other. And, you know, I love my podcast because it's my show and I can have whoever I want on there. And I just love the women that I bring on the show because the women have such a strong, you know, obstacle in the wrestling world because it's a man's world. Let's just face it.
Oh yeah,
you know,
definitely.
And, you know, and so when you got released by WWE, my heart just sank, you know, for you. And I just, you know, I wanted to just show the world that, and tell you too, that the world is your oyster. Like there is so much more world out there than WWE.
I totally agree with you. When you first get released, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like your whole world is crashing down on you. But I kind of think in a weird way, it was almost good. So this is waffles. It was almost good that I only was at WWE for 2 years because I just got a little taste and I still have this indie mentality, this like, okay, I'm ready to go out there and I'm ready to show the world that I am a superstar and I do deserve one of those top spots and I do deserve to hold titles and things like that. I never lost that drive, really. I never got complacent. So I feel upset that I didn't get a chance within WWE. And then on the other hand, I'm like, no, you know what? If it was going to work out this way, I'm happy I was only there 2 years and I'm ready to like go hit the ground running.
That's amazing. And we have so much to talk about. Now the other promotions that you worked with was Lucha Underground. And of course you're in the Indies and TNA and of course WWE and NXT. I have so much to ask you. What would you tell yourself today from the person that you were like, say 5-6 years ago? What have you learned about yourself?
Well, one thing that I learned is that, you know, it doesn't matter the goal that you have set for yourself. The end goal matters, but it doesn't matter how you get there. You're never going to take the path that you think you're going to take or that you have set out for yourself in your mind. You know, when I first started training in 2014 with Lance, he knew it was like WWE, like that's it, or the highway. Like I'm not doing anything else. And then my eyes were open to this whole other indie world and Impact and Lucha Underground and all these things I didn't even know existed because my head was so laser focused on WWE. And really my career has been made from the journeys and the stops along the way. And
yeah, exactly.
I just feel like I would tell now any female wrestler that I speak to, like, it's never going to work out the way you imagine, but trust me, it's going to be so much better in the long run.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, I left WWE on my own, but I wanted more. And yeah. Everyone thinks, oh, once you're at WWE, you know, and I'm very grateful for what they did for me, but there was just so much world out there that yeah. I wanted to see. And, you know, I was a widow and I just wanted to be Vicky as a person and just kind of experience, you know, a normal life because I was in the wrestling industry for like, you know, 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, and whether it's indies or AEW or any other promotion, it's still a love that we have for the sport and we can do it anywhere, whether it's a 25 member audience or, you know, 15,000 people, it's our love. And you can't take the woman out of the ring, but you can't take the ring out of the woman.
Exactly. And it's funny, you know, like I did think that when I got to WWE, that was the end goal. And then you get there and we're just not those type of people that settle, right? Like that's why we are where we are, because none of us settle. And so once I got to WWE, my eyes opened again to a whole different world and a new set of goals. And, you know, for a while there, I debated whether WWE was meant for me or not, because my creative freedom yeah. was a little bit stifled. So it's funny, you never know what your goals are going to be until you get to that checkpoint and then they all change.
Yeah. So let's take it back before wrestling for you. What were you doing and what got you interested in even watching your first wrestling show?
So I watched wrestling in, I would say, third, fourth, fifth grade with my sister. We were not allowed, but we would sneak up while my mom made dinner and we would watch Raw. And my sister remembers, she's got such a great memory. She remembers all the storylines from back then, which I love because I don't. So I stopped watching around sixth grade and fast forward to about 11th grade. That was the first time I ever saw a live show because I'm from an island in Canada. We get WWE like once every 5 years. Maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, we really, really rarely get it. So when it came to town, it was a big thing. I went, I'll never forget, Kelly was in this beautiful, sparkly purple outfit. Vicky, my heart, I fell in love with her because I am a tall, skinny string bean. I always have been. And so seeing someone like that in the ring, I had only really ever thought of China as a wrestler. I think most of us feel that way and most of our parents too. So my eyes were open to this whole different world that I just was like, wait a second, this is so cool. Again, I never thought about it until I was 24 years old, living in Calgary, going to school for kinesiology. And I was on my laptop typing up an essay and somehow Raw was on TV. I didn't put it on, but it must have come on after the show I was watching. And I stopped and watched, and it was a Brie or a Nikki Bella match. And I can't remember who she was wrestling, maybe Naomi. And I just was like, oh my gosh, they're so that like they're sexy and they're confident, but they're athletes and I know there's such weird thoughts about the diva division and that word diva, but I just loved embracing their sexiness and being on that athletic side. Like that really resonates with me. And it did. And I Googled how to be a WWE diva. And I found Lance Storm School 10 minutes away from me. And the rest is history.
Oh my gosh. And so what is your opinion of the women's evolution? Like what does that mean to you?
I mean, so for me, again, like I loved the Divas division and I never thought of diva. I was empowered by things like that, but I do understand that we needed an evolution. We needed to kind of break barriers and have longer matches and be paid equally. And, you know, all these things that the men get, we've worked so hard to be equal to them that we deserve all those things. So even taking away that diva's title, it is an empowering moment for the women who have worked really, really hard for that. And that word diva does not resonate with everyone. And I know that. So it's been really cool to watch this evolution because I do feel like I started right at the time when that Give Divas a Chance hashtag started around 2014, 2015.
Wow.
That's it all.
That's incredible. So take us to the day that WWE released you because of course no one's ever expecting that, you know, because we go to work and we think everything's hunky dory and it's another day at work. Were there signs that you were expecting that? Or did you kind of feel like, oh, things aren't really good here? Or was it just out of the ordinary that they just, you know, shocked you with the news?
So I would say there was other times that I felt maybe I was on the chopping block, but also I was kind of like, there's no way. I haven't done anything to show them that I can go yet in order for them to decide that I can't go or right. that they don't need that character. And I know that there were so many people backstage that had seen the Hot Mess character and that loved it and knew in some capacity it would work at WWE. We just had to figure out where to fit it in. So to be honest, I was totally shocked, but I'll tell you, I'm so, so thankful. I was sitting right here at my kitchen with Santana Garrett when I got a text from my fiance, Matt, saying, hey, warning, they're firing people right now. Oh. And then I know. And I was like, oh man. But I'm like, no, they can't fire me. I just got called up. I haven't been, you know, I just was cleared like a month before. I had sent about 10,000 pitches to them. And then not 3 minutes later, I got a call from Johnny Ace.
Oh my God. I am so sorry.
You know what? I do have to say, I'm very thankful it was Johnny Ace. He was so sweet to me. He was so like compassionate when he didn't need to be. And I've heard these conversations before and they don't, you know, they're not always that way.
They're cold. Yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of, okay, bye. And he was very nice to me. And I really, if I think about it hard, they did not answer my last few pitches. Should have been a sign, but I'm clueless because I send like a pitch a week minimum.
Wow. Wow. So let's take you to your personal life. Your fiance is Matt Cardona, and I worked with Matt at WWE because we were part of La Familia. How is that? That's got to be an incredible support system because, you know, not too many people have a spouse that's a wrestler that understands the industry and the ups and downs. And I love Matt. He's such a great human being. How has that been for you? Because, you know, there's different levels to your relationship. You know, there's the personal, and then there's the working relationship. And then there's you trying to do your own creative and he has his creative going on over here. And then you also have podcasts going on. I mean, I'd hate to be, I mean, maybe I do want to be a fly on your wall. What are your conversations and how is it that, you know, it is, you know, being a part of a soon to be marriage and you have your spouse in the wrestling industry?
Well, it's funny because if you go back to 2017, I said to Maria Kanellis, Rosemary, Sienna, and Allie, I said, I will never date a wrestler, ever, 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 ever. And I was too good to date a wrestler. And I'm not even joking. That year, Brandy and Cody introduced me to Matt. And that was it. First and last wrestler. And I fell in love. And, you know, like, but you're right. You know, you have this deeper connection because wrestling is like nothing else. You know, you can date an athlete, but they don't understand wrestling. You can date someone in the entertainment industry, but they don't understand the athletic side of it and the injury side of it. So it's this really weird combination of all these things that people don't understand except a fellow wrestler. So, but one thing that I will say is, you know, a lot of couples talk wrestling and they bond on that level. And the funny thing is that Matt and I have never bonded over wrestling. I would say within the past, ever since quarantine, we've bonded a little more over wrestling because I think we both didn't have it. So we kind of maybe like did more wrestling things around our house or talked more wrestling or things like that. But up until about a year ago, we never stepped in the ring together, ever. Nothing. Like, we just did not. And now it's been so awesome talking about wrestling and talking about possibly getting, you know, in the ring together wherever we end up and doing the podcast together. And Matt is always a couple steps ahead, as we know, with everything like digitally, social media, things like that. So that's like really helped me step up my game. Man, if I wasn't with Matt, like, who knows if I'd have all these logos and these podcasts and all this stuff that he has. He's just like, it's ridiculous. He's got such a mind for it.
He's a hustler, that's for sure.
He really is. And I thought I was a hustler until Matt got fired and I watched what hustling really is.
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, I guess with quarantine, you had nothing else to do but talk to each other.
We had a lot of time to talk. And honestly, I feel like everyone had their ups and their downs. And like, we definitely had our ups and our downs. We wanted to murder each other for a second there. But then, you know, I'm so thankful that I had all this time with him. And we had never had that in our relationship before. Of course, being on the road 24/7.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's so when you step back and you think about that time, like, wow, we're so lucky. Now we're back on the road and things are going, and we may never have that year and a half together with no interruptions.
Yeah. Do y'all find each other critiquing y'all's work in the ring?
So never until recently. Oh my gosh, we got in the ring for the first time and I realized how stiff Matt is. And it was like totally a whole different ball game. So yes, now we do a little bit and we ask each other for feedback on promos and things like that. But there's a line that we try not to cross, which I think is good. We have boundaries.
All right, everyone, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. Gentlemen, are you performing your best during sex? Or do you walk away feeling frustrated and disappointed? Well, the Cougar has a solution just for you. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form. Blue Chew's tablets combat erectile dysfunction and help men gain confidence when it's time to go. No doctor visits, it's an online prescription service, and Blue Chew provides a consult with one of their licensed medical providers. It's made in the USA, prepared and shipped direct. Use promo code EXCUSEME and receive your first month subscription for free. Enjoy. Okay, everyone, we're back with the beautiful Chelsea Green and we're talking all things wrestling, marriage, podcasts, ups and downs in life. And we just finished talking about Matt, her fiance, and how it is living with each other during quarantine, and especially during a wrestling household. Like, that's got to be like, my husband now is not anything to do with the wrestling industry. And it's so funny because he tries to like figure things out. And I'm like, babe, just just be quiet. Night. No, yeah. we're not going to go there.
No, they don't get it.
And I know he's just trying to like be part of the clique, but it's very, there's a very different dynamic when there's a husband and wife team, especially working for different promotions, you know, because there's different ideas, there's different ways of how each company does things. And just on the side of that, you're two different characters trying to survive in this world.
Right. You know, different.
Yeah. You know, so you kind of have the better of both worlds, you know, because you have the support system. But then do you ever tell Matt, like, dude, I got it. Like,
yeah,
I got it.
All the time. All the time. And especially now that I've been released, he's trying to tell me things. And I'm like, babe, I was on the indies longer than you. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. And now the best part is I tell him, did I ask? Didn't ask? Don't need it. Do not need it. And he's like, okay, fine.
That's all from love too. Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Okay. So if you had to sit in front of a young lady, say, and she's junior high school, what are the three things that you would give her as advice in life? Not to be like a wrestler, but what are the three things that are important to you to survive just being an adult?
Well, one thing my dad always said was stop stressing about what you're going to be when you grow up. Trust me, it's going to happen. It's going to fall into your lap, and then you're going to wake up one day and there you are. You're going to be it, whatever it is. I stressed for so long about what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I would have never guessed it was being a professional wrestler. So I will say that. Number two would be to, do what makes you happy, but don't stress so much about what you're wearing and what's fashionable, what's trendy, and spending the most money on how you look and stuff like that. Like, go on adventures, spend your money on doing things, taking these opportunities to do things that you may never get to do when you're older. As I've grown up, I'm so thankful that I spent my money instead of on materialistic things, on experiences and travels and things like that. And that's really what's shaped me as a person. And then the third thing would be basically what I said with wrestling, but just in life, set goals for yourself, but know that you can't set a path to that goal. The path is going to change. You're going to hit detours, but you're going to get there. If you set the goal and you work hard, you're going to get there. It just might take longer than you had imagined.
And patience is, I'm not good with patience at all.
Oh God, I am so bad. And everyone tells me that, Brian Wittenstein does some of my bookings and he tells me all the time, you and Matt are so impatient. But I'm like, if I can do it, if I can contact that person, I'm going to do it. I'm so bad.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Okay. So now it's time for some questions. And Chelsea, let me tell you, the fans love you. I had so many submissions. I had to narrow it down to like just a few because we had to have another interview because the fans are just
Q and A.
Hey, they're really behind you and there's so much love for you. So Jeff Nealon wants to ask you, do you like Matt Cardona's colors, how he colors his beard a different color than his hair?
Okay. Everyone thinks that. And then when they meet him, it's so funny. Everyone thinks that. When you meet him, you see all the like orangey hairs in there and gray. I promise you, he is not just for men. And he did say like maybe a month or two ago, like, I think I'm going to just for men my beard because it's getting grays in it. I said, absolutely not. It, like women love men aging. We love it. You know,
salt pepper, like,
yeah, women don't age the same way as men. We have to do a couple more things, but men look good with age. So I promise you it's not dyed.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. Here's a question from the king of the world. What was the end goal for the Big Impact storyline featuring Maria, Chelsea, Ali, Braxton? Had no one left the company?
Well, I think the end goal really was that wedding. And once I had the wedding and everything went like exploded and I turned into the hot mess, we actually didn't have a plan. Nobody had a plan after that. And we just totally freeballed it. So truly, there was no plan. I did win the title, the Impact's Knockout Championship, but I actually was not meant to win that title originally. It was meant to be somebody else who wasn't able to get in the country at the time because of green card visa stuff.
No shit.
And, yes. And they just told me that day, you're winning. And I was like, what? Like, that was never in the plans. We had never spoken about that. I was so new to wrestling. Like, I felt like I did not deserve that, but was so happy to take it. So really, we were just totally going with the flow month by month.
Wow. Good for you. That was awesome. Okay. So Victoria Rodriguez is asking you, what does a typical day for you look like?
Well, it's so weird because now, if I talk about now in this weird released world, it's kind of all over the place because I'm trying to fit in. I'll always go to the gym. That keeps me mentally sane, but I'm trying to fit in interviews mixed with the two podcasts that I have, mixed with just trying to get my brand up and running and figure out what that looks like, whether it's photo shoots or social media, like strategy and planning and things like that, and calls with PR people, all that stuff. Because when I was in WWE, I said to myself, man, if I ever don't work for WWE, I'm going to do this and this and this. And now I'm like, oh shit, it's happening. If I don't do it, I'm being hypocritical to myself.
Yeah. So where do I start?
I'm trying to do all these things, but you know, that would, if Victoria asked me in 2 months, once I'm back to work, that's totally different, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So Heather Powell is wanting to ask you, how do you prepare for each appearance?
Ooh, I mean, to be honest, I don't really. I have my upstairs closet with all my gears, and I've got so many extra sets of gears and things like that. But I try not to like stress too much about things, whether it's like a meet and greet or a promo on TV or a match. Like, I try not to stress, and I don't think about it until I am there, wherever there is. Because otherwise, amazing. I get a little too much anxiety about it.
Yeah, yeah. And it starts messing, yeah.
You know, you need to, when you get home, you need to shut off.
That's true.
So I try not to turn back on until I'm on the plane to go somewhere.
Very smart. Okay, so let's talk about your podcast, which is called Green with Envy. How is it you're trying to be unique from other podcasts?
So I thought, I really love, or I think I love hosting. I think that that's something that I would do if I wasn't a wrestler. And that might be in the wrestling world, hosting or a talk show or a correspondent on ESPN. Like, I just love having conversations with people. But I realized that so many people have been interviewers and hosts for so long that I'm not at that skill level yet. I don't have that practice. So what can I do that's different? And I kind of decided, you know what I can do? I can just tell interesting stories about myself and my friends. I've got such a unique group of girlfriends and a very open family. And we sit around the dinner table and we tell each other all the embarrassing things that happened to us. And we make fun of each other. And that's like, I've always had that relationship with all my girlfriends and my family. So I thought, if I'm going to start a podcast, let's start off by just telling the world all the things that they don't know about me, and then see where it goes. So I'm still trying to figure out what this podcast is and what direction it goes in. But for now, I kind of like the fact that it literally is a hot mess. It's got a bit of everything.
You know, and I think that's really important because, you know, I can get mentally drained by looking at everyone else's podcast and think, oh my gosh, they do this and they do that. Yes. And this is how they do this part. And I just had to just stop and be like, if it's going to be my show, I need to just be me and be real at it. And whether I make a mistake or it's, you have good episodes and you have bad ones and the editing can be great or bad, you just have to give yourself love and grace and just put it out there and just say, this is how it turned out.
And that's exactly it. And that's why I didn't even think twice about putting out my first episode. I just recorded it and I realized, holy cow, this is really hard. I only spoke for like 25 minutes because it's just me, you know? And I thought, okay, you know what? I'll put it out there. And every week I'll just work to get a little bit longer and a little bit better. And it's funny because last week I feel like I had my best episode yet. And then this week I stuttered the whole time. And that's just how it is. And you know, I'm going to put it out there, and that's all there is to it. I'm a human, and I hope everyone realizes that.
So we talk about Green with Envy. What's the other podcast that you do with Matt?
So the other one that we just started, we're just putting out episode 2, is Majorland. And that's going to be all things theme park and amusement park related.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. And Matt's wanted to do it for a long time. He actually originally wanted to do it with Cody. But of course, Cody left WWE, and then Matt was still there, and then Matt left WWE, and Cody was at AEW, and they've been like ships passing in the night for a couple of years now. So he kind of has bugged me about it since quarantine. And finally, we just said, let's sit down and let's do it and see what happens. And we love it. And it's 45 minutes of us time just recorded.
Is it about you guys going to the park and talking about your different experiences there? Is it just Disney World, since y'all are in Orlando, correct?
Yeah, so it's all parks. We try to focus on Disney and Universal, but I, being from Canada, I have a little bit of experience with like Canada's Wonderland and West Edmonton Mall theme park, and we do Six Flags. So we like to sit down, and it's kind of a funny take on us going there and what we think people should do it. Like, how do you do it with 2 adults with no kids? And how do you do it when one person is such a major fan like Matt, and I'm just like a regular fan, like a normal human, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. And where can we find your podcast at? Yours and with
both of them should be available on all digital streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everything. But just know that because both podcasts are new, sometimes they take longer than the original drop date to actually come out. So some people are experiencing this weird thing where they get the podcast on Wednesday instead of Monday. Don't know why. Don't ask me. I have no idea, but they should drop Monday and Wednesday.
We can blame COVID on that. How's that?
Exactly. We'll blame COVID.
Okay, so I'm going to give you some rapid questions so we can get to know you a little bit better, okay?
All right.
If I gave you $10,000, what would you spend it on?
Moving my family to America.
Oh my God, that's sweet. What is your best memory from yesterday?
Oh man, I ordered a big pack of Oreos and I ate them all, double stuffed.
I love you even more. What is your biggest pet peeve?
Bad breath.
Toilet paper over or under?
Oh, over.
Do you classify cereal as a soup?
No.
Do you pour the cereal first or the milk first?
Always the cereal first. I've tried the milk first thing. I just can't do it.
All right. Who's a better cook, you or Matt?
Me, unless it's steak, then definitely Matt.
Very good. All right. So Chelsea, let everyone know how they can reach you on social media. And what do you have any signings or anything coming up?
Well, gosh, I wish I could remember, but they're all my signings will be after July 14th. That's the day my non-compete ends. A lot of people don't know that and are wondering why I'm counting down on my social media platforms, but I've got about 39 days left, and then I'm free as a bee to do whatever. And you can follow me on Twitter at I'm Chelsea Green or Instagram at Chelsea A Green.
Oh my gosh. And for a promoter that wants to book you, where can they contact you at?
ChelseaGreenBookings@gmail.com, or you can slide into my DMs. I've opened up my DMs now because it's amazing how many people DM me, and you don't realize the opportunities that you're missing when you have closed DMs.
Absolutely. Chelsea, you are a delight. And I think the world of you, and I wish you success. And I hopefully will want to see you down the road, and you never know where we're going to bump heads. You never know.
I agree. Thank you so much. This has been amazing.
Thank you, Chelsea. God bless you. Give my love to Matt, and I wish you both so much love and happiness.
I will. Thank you.
Bye, Chelsea.
Bye.